San Francisco Police Chief William Scott on the line this morning, joining us once again. Good morning, Chief Scott. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning, and thank you for having me this morning.
Yeah. Hello, yes, Chief. Sir. Hello, Chief.
Yeah,
of course. Hey, Kenny, how are you?
You normally call us with things, initiatives and things that are going on in the community to keep us updated. However, it's been a pretty tough week and a half here in the Bay Area as well as nationwide. Just tell us how you're feeling this morning. What are your thoughts on what has been going on here?
Well, I tell you, it's hard to describe what I'm feeling. It's, you know, what's been going on in our country is, you know, it's not new. I'll start with that. But it's yet another, I think, just another chapter to a very tragic and sad story. And let me just go straight to the point. You know, the issue of black and brown men being killed at the hands of the police. You know, my profession, my life's work. And it's a very difficult situation to grapple on both sides. You know, I was going to ask you that.
How do you feel not only as a police chief, and like you said, it's your profession, it's your life's work, but as an African-American police chief in a major city in the United States, how do you feel about this? And what message would you send to the community on behalf of the San Francisco Police Department?
Well, on behalf of the San Francisco Police Department, this is what I want to say. You know, we are not without our flaws, and we are not without our criticisms as well. But I can tell you, one thing, we are committed to change this narrative. We have been working very, very hard. I've been here now a little over three years, and you know, when Mayor Ed Lee brought me here, he brought me here to implement reform and change within the San Francisco Police Department. And Mayor London Breed has continued that work, and really a lot of what we are trying to do in the San Francisco Police Department is exactly what I just said, change the narrative. You know, far too many people, particularly black men, are subject to losing their lives by law enforcement. You look at disproportionalities and disparities in arrests, use of force. You know, we've had that issue as well, along with other police departments across the country. I mean, this is a national issue, and that's why you're seeing nationally people's emotions and outrage and just frustration with this issue. So our department, we're committed to change. And like I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. We are not without flaws. We definitely are not a perfect department, but we want to do what is right for this city, what is right for the African-American community and the way we police. And that's what, as your chief of police, definitely that's what my commitment is. Now, just to shortly answer the second part of your question, as a black man, you know, I've been a black man all my life. I've been a police officer a lot of my life, but I understand what it feels like to be a black man in this country. You know, I understand the issues that people are so frustrated with. So, you know, it's hurt on both sides for me. Because being in this business for 30 plus years, you know, I've met a lot of police officers, and by and large, everybody that I've come in contact with are doing this job for the right reasons. But there are people out there who have done wrong, and there are people out there who continue to do wrong. And look, we're all, let's be realistic. That's the reality of it. And it's my job and the job of other police chiefs across the country to make sure that we do the right thing, to make sure that we're transparent, to make sure that we hold people accountable when it's appropriate to hold people accountable. And I think that is what we want as police chiefs. That's what we want as police officers. And I think that's what the public wants. And that's what I want when I take off this uniform as an African-American man. That's what I want. So that's what we need to do.
Chief, if I could ask, you know, like you just said, you've been an African-American your whole life. You've been a police officer a lot of your life. In your opinion, what is the key to mending the relationship and regaining the trust between the public and the police departments across the country right now?
Well, when it comes to the issue at hand, the key is accountability, and the key is transparency. You know, every state has different laws in this country, and every police department has different policies. So you have, you know, over 18,000 police departments. But the one thing that has to happen, the one consistent thing that has to happen, is accountability, and and transparency is equally important. And we have to be committed. You know, there's a lot of, you know, like I said, 30 years in this business, and it's been a constantly changing target in terms of depending on what's happening in the day. But the one thing that hasn't changed is this issue keeps happening. And when we talk about change, we have to look at all of the things that we need to do to change. You know, use of force is one thing, but there are so many underlying policies that over the years have been systemic. You know, there's been systemic racism in the policing profession. Look, let's just say that. Mm-hmm. We have to acknowledge that. And those things have to change. And, you know, what I believe needs to happen in terms of police professionals and committed community members working together is you get to the grassroots of the foundation of any police department, and that's, you know, besides the people that work in that department, is the policies that we have to abide by. And those policies need to be worked on and developed and changed jointly with the communities that feel the impact of those policies. And, you know, that's another thing with the San Francisco Police Department. We invite that community input. And, you know, we're changing. Our police commission has set a course for us to change or look at or change, if needed, every one of our general orders in the next 5 years. That is a very aggressive aspiration. But we're asking and inviting the community and members from the community to sit down at the table with us and look at these policies and change them. The ones that need to be changed. And that's really, really important, to have the community be a part of the policing of its city. And that's what we invite, and that's what we want. And it's a hard process. You know, there's disagreements, there's philosophical differences, but at the end of the day, we come away, hopefully, with a policy or a set of policies where the community agrees to, they buy in, they trust in us, and that builds trust and that builds confidence. And when those policies are violated, they want to see, and we want to see, some accountability. You know, in this department, we have civilian oversight. I don't get to make the final decision on terminations. Our police commission does, and they're picked by the mayor, they're picked by the board of supervisors, and they represent the people. And I think that system is a very good system, because that system has the appropriate oversight that's outside the police department, and with that comes accountability.
In the case of the Minnesota officers, what would you like to see happen? What would be justice in that situation as far as those four officers who were arrested in Minnesota?
Well, you know, I put out a public statement, and let me say first and foremost, I applaud the decision of the Minneapolis Chief of Police, Madaria Arenado. The processes there are different from here. You know, I don't have the ability to make a decision like that. Number one, I would have to send that to the police commission. And secondly, you know, our due process rules are different. He was able to make a decision quickly and swiftly to terminate those officers, and I applaud that. Now, at least one of the cases has been filed, and that case will take its course through the criminal justice system. And if the evidence is there, that officer needs to serve time in prison. Right. You know, all we've seen, and all I've seen anyway, are videos on the news. So I want to make sure that I make myself clear on this. You know, that is not all the evidence, but the prosecutors have brought charges against this officer. So there's an assumption right there, at least on my behalf, that there was enough there to bring charges, first of all. And there was a belief by the prosecutors, based on all the evidence they've seen at this point, that they have a case that's prosecutable. Right. If that is the case, and that's the fact, then the officer should go to prison. Right. If a jury of his peers agree that the evidence is there to convict him, that's the system we have in this country. And, you know, whether it's not a perfect system, but it's the system we have, I think what we all want to see is the appropriate level of accountability. Because, you know, the flip side of that coin, and let me say this as a black man, how many of our people have been to prison or been arrested and the charges and the evidence wasn't there? And in some cases, you question whether or not the prosecutions in and of themselves were just. And that's another part of the problem in this country, particularly from the perspective of an African-American man. We have a history. We have a history of black people going to jail and you know, with under questionable circumstances. So, you know, we do not have a perfect system, and we have a system that a lot of people are skeptical of, and I get it, and I understand it, particularly as a black man. But it is our system, and if the evidence is there and if the trial is fair, there needs to be accountability. And that accountability in this case means jail time.
One more question. I fear that if there is no conviction, then the public outrage will be a lot worse. Do you share that same concern?
Well, it's definitely a possibility. You know, you guys probably aware of my journey to get to San Francisco. I spent the first 27 years of my career in Los Angeles as an LAPD officer. About 2.5 years into my career was April 1992 when the Rodney King incident erupted because of the very things that you are speaking of. Now, let's hope and pray that whatever the outcome of this prosecution is, that that doesn't happen in our country, but it's already happening. So to answer your question, yeah, that is a fear. But at the same time, you know, we can't have a mentality in this country where decisions are based on public emotion. Because, again, going back to what I said about some of the injustices on the prosecution side, you know, back in the day, before we even had civil rights, we as black people and African American people had civil rights in this country, we were prosecuted on things that were less than prosecutable. So we don't want to go back there either. And I think in a best case scenario, the case against this officer is fair, it's transparent, so everybody gets to see what the evidence is, and we can all make our own opinions, but the 12 opinions that count are going to be the 12 opinions on that jury.
Thank you, Chief Scott, for taking time out of your day today. We know you're quite busy and, you know, you probably haven't had much rest, but we appreciate you getting up early and talking to us this morning. This is Chief William Scott. He is, of course, the chief of the San Francisco Police Department. Thank you so much this morning for joining us. It's your
appreciate
dream team.
You, Chief.
Thank you,
yes.
Chief.
Kimmy T, Tony Sko, and Rudy O, right here on 102.9 KBLX, R&B and Old School.